Okay, we begin as always with our expression of gratitude to the Froelich Financial Group for sponsoring the overall afternoon kollel, three afternoons a week. Baruch Hashem, so beautiful. And this week's sponsors, welcome back, Peggy and Phil Zimmerman, in memory of Phil's father, Michal Ben Shraga Faival Halevi, whose neshama should have an aliyah.
Amen.
We're taking on an ambitious topic. So far in our survey of Shas Sugyas, we've done Ase Toch Elos Ase, we've done Eidus Lekiyam Adavar, and we've done, what was the third one last week? We did Baruch Hashem, you remember. Afeina Yeboso Anes. Three Shas Sugyas. So the fourth one is perhaps our most ambitious yet. I feel, frankly, a little overwhelmed by it, but we'll see how far we get. There's so much to talk about in so many directions. So I begin with the disclaimer and the reminder that our goal is not to conquer a subject, but is to gain a certain literacy, a certain familiarity, a certain knowledge that there are topics that are pervasive through Shas, that penetrate throughout the different Siddharim of Shas. At least we've heard of them, and we understand their basics. Our topic for this week is Kimle B'derabba Mineh. Undoubtedly, you've heard of it. Kimle B'derabba Mineh appears in several places of Shas, across Shas. Just to give you a sense of how extensive this topic is, in my preparation, I came across, if you look on page one, this is the cover page of an entire sefer called Klolei Kimle B'derabba Mineh. It's an entire thick sefer. The only subject of the entire sefer is this principle. So if we wanted, we could spend the next 10 years on this subject and how it, different punishments and mezid and shogig and kares and misa, b'dei shamayim, b'dei adam, there's a million and one different permutations of it, so much so I skimmed through the sefer, I can't say I learned it. It looks like it comprehensively covers the subject. It has 10 different klolim. Klolei, kimle, b'derabba mineh. That's how extensive this subject is. What is the subject? What is kimle b'derabba mineh? What do the words mean? What is this principle? And how do we see it expressed across Shas? The principle of kimle b'derabba mineh is the notion of a double punishment, to a certain degree, a double liability, double jeopardy. And the concept of double jeopardy of kimle b'derabba mineh means that if a person doesn't act, and the act includes several violations, which incur several punishments, do they receive all of the punishments, or do they only receive the most significant, the most severe of all of the punishments? This is not only something that's true in Torah law. I would imagine, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not that familiar with American law, civil law, but I would imagine it's true. Any lawyers here? So if A kills B, shoots B, and is put on trial for a capital crime, are they also held responsible for putting a hole through the shirt that the victim was wearing? Meaning, if A kills B, and they're on trial for a capital crime of killing B, for manslaughter, do they at the same time have a civil trial for having to pay the descendants, the inheritors of B, for the value of the shirt B was wearing, which he put a hole through with his gunshot, or destroyed and covered with blood?
There are many instances of a criminal trial coming to a conclusion, and then the...
civilly going back. To go after a civil trial. Okay, so there are examples of it. So in halacha, that is the question. And this is the most classic example of kimle b'derabba mineh. Is A kills B, and A is now liable, A is now on trial for a capital crime of killing B, but in the process of killing B, put a hole in his shirt. In the process of killing B, maybe he ran over B with his car, but he also ran over the fruit stand at the same time. And the poor fruit guy is out his entire stand of apples, oranges, and pears that day. Or many, many other examples, just to give you a few. I'll give you a few, and then we'll see the Gemara's inside. The Gemara in Chulin brings up a case, Chulin Pei Aleph, it's not in your source book, I'll tell you outside. Gemara in Chulin Pei Aleph, a case of someone who's liable for Avodah Zarah through his slaughtering, and deserves death. So he kills an animal for the sake of Avodah Zarah. But in the process of killing the animal, he kills Osoves Bino. He kills a mother and the offspring of that mother on the same day. There's a Torah prohibition of Osoves Bino. You're not allowed to kill a mother and child on the same day. Why that is and how it expresses itself for another time. But let's say the individual is slaughtering the mother and child for the sake of Avodah Zarah. So which is the worst? Which is the more severe? Obviously Avodah Zarah. So because they're going to incur the penalty for Avodah Zarah, they'll be exempt from the penalty on Oso Ve'ezbino. The Gemara in Gittin Nunbeis has a sugya of a taroves, a mixture of food with a more severe and a more lenient punishment. Kimle b'deraba minei, kimle, the person, we stand the person up, b'deraba minei, with the more severe of the punishments that they face. So when there's a double liability, when a person faces multiple penalties incurred for one act, this is part of the sugya that we're not going to get into in depth, but is it one act? Is it that the one act violated something with two punishments? Or is it that even if it were multiple acts, but they're liable for two punishments, and the judgment of the two punishments comes at the same time? Which has to happen at the same time? Is it the one act which incurs two punishments? Or is it even multiple acts, but the judgment which would bring the two punishments for those multiple acts comes at the same time? But in either case, it's what we call a double liability, double jeopardy, double punishment, for the fact that they have multiple penalties. So the halacha is, the principle is, kim lei b'derava minei, you only receive the one that is the most severe. The source for the sugya, the major source, is about 8 blot, 9 blot in the third parak of Ksubas, in Eilei Naro. So the Gemara here, turn to page 2, the Gemara on Daf Lamed says the following, Tanya, Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana Ya'osa es Yom HaKippurim Kishabas L'Tashlumin. Ma Shabbos Mischayev Benavsho Potter Min HaTashlumin. Af Yom HaKippurim Mischayev Benavsho Potter Min HaTashlumin. What are we talking about? Look at Rashi. Recording Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana. Our Mishnah, Rashi says, Masnisen de Mischayev Tashlumin Lava Alachoso. Af HaPishim Mischayev Karis Bibi Aso. Mafki Bider Menechunya. What is the halacha if a person raped his own sister? There's an Isser Kares for the Arayos, but there's also punishment of the Kenas, for the violation. So Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana says, Tashlumen, Mechayev Tashlumen Lava Lachosa, Alpha Pisha Mechayev Kares Bibiyaso, Mafki Bidin Rabbi Nechunya. That opinion would be to the exclusion of Rabbi Nechunya, who says what? He equated Yom Kippur to Shabbos, says Rashi, as Yom HaKippurim, Liftor HaMadligas HaGedish B'Yom HaKippurim Ki Idliko B'Shabbos. Another classic case of Kimli B'Derab Aminei. You light your neighbor's field on fire on Shabbos. So you're violating the malacha of Mavir on Shabbos. You're lighting something on fire on Shabbos. It's one of the malachas. The violation of Shabbos brings with it a punishment of Skila, of Misa's Bezdin. So that which you cost your neighbor his field, which is an act of Nezek, for which there should be a tashlumen, you're exempt from the tashlumen. You don't have to compensate your neighbor for destroying their field because you're getting the more severe punishment of the fact that you've destroyed their field through a violation of the laws of Shabbos. So says Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, he made Hayoses Yom HaKippurim Kishabbos L'Tashlumen. Ma Shabbos Mischayev B'Nafsho Potter Min HaTashlumen. Just like when you violate Shabbos, there's a Mises based in, you incur capital punishment, therefore you're exempt from the lesser punishment, namely compensation. Same is true for Yom Kippur. So Rashi says, Ma Shabbos Yom Mises based in Potter Min HaTashlumen. Kedisnam B'mas Nisen Gabe Bo'al Bito. We'll see, there are two psukim from which we derive the principle of kimle b'derab aminei. So just like with Shabbos, where you incur a capital punishment, and therefore you're exempt from the human punishment of compensation, af yom ha-kippurim, shu b'karis, chiyav nefesh u'zeh, u'pater min ha-tashlumen. When Nechunya ben Akana is of the opinion, kimle b'derab aminei would apply not only to Mises Bezdin, not only when you're going to be put to death, but even to Kares. Now Kares, you're not actually put to death. It's not a capital crime in the sense that you are put to death. The prohibition, or the punishment rather, of Kares is that you die before what age? The age of 60. Which is why there's a makor, there's several sources, people make themselves a birthday when they turn 60, because if you're 60 or above, it's evidence that you never violated anything that was chayiv kares. There's a source for making yourself a birthday, a 60th birthday. So you might think kares is not actually a capital punishment So maybe it's not considered more severe. Karis is more of a spiritual excision. It's a spiritual punishment. So a spiritual punishment would not exempt me from the compensation in the human realm. Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana is of the opinion that even Karis, you would apply Kimle Midirab Aminei, just like with Shabbos, you'll exempt from compensating the neighbor. So too, when you violate Yom Kippur with an Isser Karis, you'd be exempt from Tashlum. My time with Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, Rabbi Nemar Ason Bidei Adam, and Nemar Ason Bidei Shemayim. Ma Ason HaOmer Bidei Adam Potter Min HaTashlumin, Af Ason HaOmer Bidei Shemayim Potter Min HaTashlumin. That same word Ason appears in both places. Where's the word Ason to exempt you from compensation when there's a capital punishment? It appears in Parashas Mishpatim. Perek Chav Aleph, Pasuk Chav Beis. What is the context there? We're going to see it in the Gemara on Daf Lamed Hey. He's going to derive it from this verse, from this pasuk. The context of Ason there is two men are in a fight, one trying to kill the other, punching the other, ends up punching a pregnant woman. She lives, but the fetus does not survive. A fetus is not considered a capital crime. The killing of a fetus is not considered an act of murder. It's a loss of property. That's not a statement about abortion and when we determine life, but for the context of compensation, Torah says in Parshas Mishpatim, we evaluate the value of the fetus, which is determined based on the mother and the slave market and so on. We determine the value of the fetus, and there has to be a compensation from the one who hit her. So the pasuk says, "Ki yinatzu anashim v'nakfu isha hara v'yatzu yiladeh v'lo yihye ason." V'lo yihye ason means there's no fatality. The mother didn't die. Anoshi anish kasher yashes l'abala isha v'nasu b'flilim. So then you have to pay the value of the fetus. When do you have to pay the value of the fetus? When the mother didn't die. If the mother did die, then the Gemara derives, then you wouldn't have to pay the value of the fetus. Why? Kimle b'derab aminei. This is the source of Kimle. So Ibn Nechunya ben Akana is of the opinion that just like we have the word Ason bidei Adam, when you, A, is fighting B, and hurts, she lives, but the fetus dies. We have the word Ason, there's no fatality. We also have the same word Ason bidei Shamayim. And just like Ason bidei Adam, when you would receive Misa for killing her, you would be exempt from Tashlumen. So to Ason bidei Shamayim, Kores, your potter, mina Tashlumen. Talk to Rashi. Ason bidei Adam, lo yason b'mishtoi b'misas beizdin. L'meimer deichad alaka misas beizdin, mashalim t'mei v'lados. When there's no Mises Beis Din, that's when you pay the Dmei Vlados, you pay the value of the fetus. But if there was Mises Beis Din, if you were being put to death for killing the woman, you would be exempt from compensating the value of the fetus. So similarly, Ason Bidei Shamayim V'Karohu Ason. Similarly there, his opinion is, that not everybody agrees, that you apply Kimle B'Derab Aminei to Kares. Not everybody agrees, but that is the opinion of Rav Nechunya ben Akana. Okay, so you see that if you shoot someone and kill them, you put to death, you don't have to pay for their shirt. If you light someone's field on Shabbos, you incur skila for violating Shabbos, you don't have to pay them back for the value of their field. Yes? So that's a discussion. We'll see whether we get to that today. Maybe we'll get to that next week. But let's say they're not incurred at the exact same moment. So for example, you're chasing a person to kill them, and first you destroy someone's property, and then only, it's not b'basachas, only later do you succeed in killing the person. So now you're put on trial for the whole episode, for the whole act. So does the fact that they didn't happen at the same moment, you wouldn't apply Kimle? But your trial for both happened at the same moment. So maybe do it. So what determines Kimle? The fact that both penalties were incurred by an act simultaneously, or that the trial for both was simultaneously, even if the acts were divided? Correct. So maybe that informs that conversation, right? The classic paradigm that you light your neighbor's field on fire in Shabbos. So the act of Havara is when you light the field, but the real Nezik doesn't occur until the field burns down. Now you could argue the very act of lighting, it wasn't a Shavapruta of Nezik yet. In other words, it's not Mamish Efshel Atzamtzeim. It's not actually that same moment. As I said, this is an incredibly broad topic. It's an ambitious topic for our Shas Sugyas. My goal, I'm not adequately versed or prepared to tell you comprehensively the topic of Kimle, nor is that our goal. Our goal is to see the major topics of Kimle, to just be familiar, there is a Shas topic, as we said, it's a Menachas and Gittin and Bab Mekama and Bab Metzia and Ksubas. It's all over Shas. Kim Lebederam Minei. That if you do something that incurs two penalties, you get the more severe, you don't get the lesser one. As I said, the fine points, the application, Kares Bidei Shemaim, Bidei Adam, Basachas, there are a lot of details here to work out, but I want to bring to your attention the Rashi Prakim, the major points of them. Okay. Another example, Mishnah in Baba Kama. If you steal and slaughter an animal on Yom Kippur, you pay Tashlumin, are you exempt? You have Kares, it's Yom Kippur, not. Again, that's similar to here. The Mishnah in Baba Kama, page 3, has another example, another application, just to bring to you some Shas Sugyas that show you this principle of Kimle Bidirab Amine. So the Mishnah in Baba Kama, Pei Zayin, says the following. Hamakya Ova V'imo, V'asa Ben Chaburo, person strikes their mother or father and gives them a blemish. V'achova B'chaveiro B'shabbos, or achova B'chaveiro, or you punch your friend. And both of these acts, both with the parents or with the friend, took place on Shabbos. Potter mikulon, whether it's striking one's parent or whether it's chova b'chaveiro, if it happens on Shabbos, are you liable for the damage of chavala? No, potter. Why? Because you're nidon b'nafsho. Because whether maka ova v'imo, which is a capital crime, or, I'm sorry, you're doing it on Shabbos, which is a capital crime. You're doing any of these on Shabbos, which is the capital crime for violating Shabbos, you'll be exempt from the lower crime of what you did. What? Makav Avimah is entire week, right. Makav Avimo, or Vasa Machabura, or Chov B'Chavera B'Shabbos. Correct, correct. Potter Mikulam, they shouldn't need to be Nafsho. In all these cases, it's a capital crime, so you'll be exempt from the lower crime. Okay, another example of Kimle B'Dirab Amine. Now we have a second principle that sounds a lot like Kimle B'Dirab Amine. Sounds a lot like it. Is it the same principle or is it a separate principle? What am I talking about? The Mishnah in Makos. Turn to page 4. We have a corollary of Kimle. As I say, it sounds very similar. Is it the same? Is it a corollary? Or is it something which is entirely different? The Mishnah says the following: Mina midim anu biish ploni shechayev lachaverim asayim zuz. V'nimtzu zomemim. Two people testify that an individual has a debt to his friend of 200 zuz. V'nimtzu zomemim, and it turns out that those witnesses could not possibly have seen that loan because others testify about them that they were elsewhere. Lokin umeshalmim. So what's the halacha for these edim zomemim? They receive both malchus and. And they have to pay. Why are they paying? Kasha Zomim. Because the rule of Edim Zomim is, whatever you were trying to cause is exactly what you have to incur. Shelo Hashem Mivin L'Dei Malkus, Mivin L'Dei Tashlum and Divereb Meir. Because it's separate causes, it's two different Mechayvim. Right? Rashi. Shelo Hashem Mechayv Malkus Mechayv Tashlum. And look at the four lines up. Malkus mishum lo sana, v'tashlum mishum kasher tozomam. It's two different violations. It's two different obligations. And because it's two separate chiyuvim, therefore, Reb Meir is of the opinion that you get both. Chachamim omrim, no. Kol ha-mashalim ein aloka. Whoever's paying doesn't get malkus. So therefore, this individual, these zomamim, if they have to pay the kasher zomam, the fact that they're paying the kasher zomam is exempting them from Malchus. Exempting them from Malchus. Does everyone have? There's more up here. You need one?
It's exempting them from Malchus.
All right, continuing the Mishnah.
But here you're saying that Momon is
We'll see. Look at Rashi. Says Rashi, again, we're a Malchus, Dav Dalad, and Aleph. So, Chacham of the opinion that you can't get both. Why can't you get both Tashlumen and Malkus? Because they learn out. Because only could we only punish for one. Only one rishus, only one violation can you be accountable for. We don't hold you accountable twice. So here, why is it Tashlum and not Malkus? So that's a specific limud during Ksubas Dav Lamed Beis, Rashi's quoting. But the main principle is that there's no double liability, you only incur one. Why here it's that one? That's a technicality. But the main point is that you only incur one, you're not going to incur both. Mina Amar Bish Ploni. No, that's
no. So why don't we say in the first?
Hold on. Let's keep going. Mi demanabish planishu chayv malchus. So two people testify about someone that they did a violation which should incur malchus, and it turns out they couldn't. Malchus arboim v'nim tzizomimim lokim shmonim mishum lo sana berecha et shaker mishum asisim lo kasher zom devar Meir. Rav Meir, who again is consistent, says when there's two different prohibitions that you violated, each deserve to incur their own punishment, you get a double liability. There is no rule of double jeopardy or double liability for Rav Meir. You get both. At least Rav Meir doesn't seem to hold it when it is what? Malkus and Tashlumen. Notice the Mishnah here is not dealing with a Chi of Misa. There is no Misa's based in here. We're talking about Malkus and Tashlumen. So would you apply Kimla B'Darabah Minei to Malkus and Tashlumen, or do you only say Kimle when there is Misa, when there is the more severe death penalty? Rav Meir does not apply Kimle B'Darabah Minei for Malkus and Tashlumen. The Chachamim are applying, as I said, is it the same rule? Is it a corollary? Is it a different rule? Again, Chachamim Omim, Ein Lokin El Arboim. So Rav Meir is going to say, when you tried to get that other person, you set them up, you lied about them to get them 40 lashes, you yourself are going to get 80 lashes. Why 80? 44, you testified falsely, and 44, kasher zomim, that's what you tried to do to him, you're going to get 80. Aye, it's double liability, says Rav Meir. What's the problem? It's two separate prohibitions you violated. Each one is mechayev you separately. You have to suffer both consequences. Chacham say no, you don't. Only get one. What's driving the Chacham? Says the Gemara, turn the page. Says the Gemara, Bishlam and the Rabbanim Kedei Rishasok Siv Mishum Rishasa Ta Mechayv Avi Ata Mechayv Mishum Shtei Rishayos. The Chachamim have a driving principle. They learn, the Pasuk says Kedei Rishasa, you have to pay for your rishus, for your egregious act. So they learn, when you pay for your egregious act, you can only be liable once. We don't double dip on liability. We don't double dip on accountability. Kedei rish aso, you're only liable once. The anata machaivo ella mishum shtei rishayos. When you did two things, I don't care if you violated two separate lavin, but you're only single liability. You don't dip again. Rav Meir my taima. So Rav Meir though, why does he say you can get both malchus and tashlumen? Amarula gomer motishem rama motishem loko mashalim afko loko mashalim. Because Rav Meir's learning the paradigm is the case of motzi shemra. Says Rashi, motzi shemra, lo matzasi labitcha psulim. When a man marries a woman and then he accuses her of having infidelity while he was betrothed to her, he says, I discovered she didn't have besulim. If it's falsely accused, he's got to pay a knas. So loka u mishalim dechsiv, v'yisro osova anshu osova, amin b'ksuvas yisro zemalkos, v'yafin lamikroi. So the Gemara wants to say, but how can you compare? Over there, malam motzi shemra shekein knas. That's not a normal case of tashlumen, of compensation. It's an extraordinary case of knas. It is a penalty we're causing him to pay. It's not compensation where there was an actual loss where I'm filling in the loss. That's what compensation means. It is beyond compensation. It's a knas. It is a penalty. So how could Rav Meir learn the paradigm is motzi shemra, that even elsewhere you're going to say that malchus umamon, that you both incur malchus and you have to pay? Maybe that's only kenas, not normal compensation. So maybe because Rav Meir is going to, the zom is also kenas, and the sugya goes on. I don't want to go weiter in the sugya. I bring it to your attention only because here it seems to be a parallel to our principle. The Gemara here does not mention the words kimle b'derama minei. The Mishnah of the Gemara aren't talking about kimle. They're talking about something called risha achas v'yata mechayva mishesh shtei rishiyos. At least the principle of the Chachamim. So what is that rule? That you can only have one liability, not a double liability. Is the relationship between Malkus and Mamon the same as the relationship of Kimla B'Darabha Minei, between Misa and Mamon, or Misa and Malkus? Is it the same rule of Kimla? Or is there a new rule that's being employed here, a different rule? Oh. So Shtir Rishus has to be adding a new rule. Why? Because in the Seif of the Mishnah, where you had a case of getting 80 Malkos versus getting 40 Malkos, you're not getting exempt from a more severe, unless you say the greater the number of Malkos is more severe. This is not, in other words, Kimla B'Dirami Minei tells me when I have a conflict between two punishments, I take the more severe. Whereas Shtei Rishios, Yata Machaivo, is not a rule of severe or less severe, it's just that, even if it's the same one, you won't get it multiple times, you only get it once. But there clearly is a relationship, and an overlap between these two different rules. That's the old Jack Benny, your money or your life, I'm thinking about it. Yeah, except that the Gemara in Sanhedrin discusses the hierarchy of punishments. In other words, it's not subjective to you. Would you rather have skila? Would you rather have chenek? Would you rather have... The Gemara sees it objectively as, even within it, there's a machlokas, which is the more severe, but there is an objective estimation of which is the more severe of the penalties. So within Kimlei, it's based on the objective estimation, not a subjective. The Gemara, say that again? Right, the Mishnah there is dealing with... In other words, maybe you'd hold Iyata Machayva Shtei Rishios, but you wouldn't necessarily hold of Kimlei. You could hold of one without the other. So where we see the intersection of the two principles is the Gemara Ksubas. Page 6. We're back in the Gemara Ksubas now. Gemara Ksubas Daf Lamed Zayin. And the Gemara here says, Shenemar V'Liyason Anoshi Anesh. So the Gemara is saying, where do I learn this principle of Kimlei B'Dirama Minei no double liability? I learn it as we saw from Perech Chaf Aleph, Pasuk Chaf Beis, Parshas Mishpatim, Sefer Shmos, in the case of Ki Natsu Anashim V'Nakfo. In the case of men are fighting, and one of them collides, Ishahara, with a pregnant woman, V'Yatzi La'Dev L'Yason, there's no fatality, the woman doesn't die, Anoshi Anish, that's when you have to pay. If she did die, you wouldn't have to pay. Says the Gemara, V'ha Mehacha Nafka, Mehasam Nafka, Kidei Rishaso, Mishem Rishas, Tamachai, V'Yatzi Machai, Mishem Rishios. Why do I need to learn Kim Labidir Abamine from the case of the conflict where the pregnant woman loses her pregnancy? Learn it from Kidei Rishaso. We already have this rule from Makos, from the Mishnah Makos, Kidei Rishaso. So why don't we learn it from Kidei Rishaso? So the Gemara says, Chada b'misa umamon, v'chada b'malkos umamon. I need two separate rules. Why do I need two separate rules? One is telling me there's no double liability when the liabilities are Misa and Mamon, death and compensation. And the other is telling me there's no double liability when the liabilities are Malkus and Mamon. So now the Gemara, as it usually does, asks, why do I need both? Utsricha. And I need both. Why do I need both? Right? In other words, if we had the time, I would ask you this outside. I try to use our light, engage our minds a little bit. Why would I think one and not the other? Utsricha is going to always tell me that each one has a reason to think this one and not the other. Since each one has that, I need to have both. So Utsricha, we'll take the shortcut here. Iyashmina miso mamon. If all I had was a case where a person was liable for death and compensation, they only have to incur death, not compensation, mishum deiko ibud neshama. Because once you have misa, everything else pales in comparison. You're going to tell me, I'm going to the electric chair, I also have to pay for your shirt that I put a hole in when I shot you. It pales in comparison. So I understand that when you incur death penalty, of course you don't have to worry about compensation. About Malkus, Umamu, Deleka, Ibn, Neshama, Imalo. But I'd say in a case where I'm incurring Malkus, I'm going to be getting lashes. Lashes is a lower level. I'm going to survive the lashes, so I also have to pay. It's not like giving my life, so I also have to pay. V'yashmina Malkus Mammon, and if I only knew that I don't have double liability in the case where I get Malkus Mammon, Mishim de lochamir isura, because the fact that there's no misa means the prohibition itself wasn't so severe. If the punishment wasn't so severe, I don't have double liability. I only have to get one of the punishments. Aval misa umamon de chamir isura, but a violation that incurs a punishment as severe as death, that means it's so severe, I might as well get two liabilities. That's how severe the violation was. Amalo, so maybe I'd think, no, so tzricha. That's why I need both. So again, the Gemara is saying, why do I need two separate psukim? Because the rule of dual liability, double liability, is different when the two liabilities are misa umamon, the death penalty and compensation, versus malchus umamon, versus lashes and mamon. So really they are corollaries of the same rule. Corollaries of the same rule. The rule is there's no double liability. But they're corollaries of that rule in different cases, one having to do with misa, one having to do with mamon. What about Rabbi Meir? Because Rabbi Meir holds you don't apply this rule to malchus and mamon. The Chachamim say basically the rule of double liability applies both whether the double liability is death and compensation or malchus and compensation. Either way, you only get the more severe, you don't take the lesser one. Or the Mishnah and malchus, maybe you take the lesser one, but that's a technical reason why we learn that out. But what about Rabbi Meir? Damar loka umashalim, tarta lamali. Rabbi Meir, who holds essentially you only apply kimle b'derabamine when misa is involved, if the two punishments are both less than misa, if there's no misa, if there's no death penalty involved, then you do get both punishments. So what does he need two psukim? What are the two psukim again? Lo ye'ason, that there was no fatality in the fight. The mother, the pregnant woman didn't die. And the other is risha achas, not shtei rishayos. So for a mayor who only learns one rule, we only say kimle b'derabamine, we only say you only get the more severe punishment when? When misa is involved. We don't apply it if it's only malchus umamon. So what does he need to psukim for? What does he do with the second pasuk? Asks the Gemara. Tarti lamali, chada b'misa umamon, v'chada b'misa umalchus. Because within misa, I need to learn two rules. Why? Misa could be the more severe punishment that gets me out of compensation, or misa can be the more severe punishment that gets me out of malchus. In other words, kimla b'dramamine, within misa, there's two types of kimla, so there it each needs its own pasuk. Why can't I just learn one from the other? Utsricha. Again, I need both. Why? Tiyashminan misa umamon. If you only add the case of misa umamon, death penalty and compensation, mishum dechad begufe vechad b'mamone lo avdinan. Maybe over there you say kimle because they're two separate punishments. One is misa, one's mamon. One is to my body, the other is to my assets. Since they're two separate things, I only take the more severe. Aval b'miso malchus di idiv idiv begufe ema misa arichtuhi v'navid bay. But maybe misa and malchus, the Gemara elsewhere talks about malchus as a misa arichta. Malchus is the beginning of death. In other words, if you give one too many lashes, you kill. So malchus is a portion of death. So malchus is kind of a reduced death sentence. So maybe I'd say, once you're given the bigger death sentence of misa, give the lesser one malchus too. Give the malchus on the way to the misa. So I might have thought, no, you only say kimla, you get the more severe one, misa and mamon, when they're two separate. But when it's really one extended punishment, might as well give them both. Give the beginning and give the end. V'yashmina miso malchus, and if I would have only said kimle when it comes to misa and malchus, t'tarte begufe lo avdinan. Maybe I'd say, you don't give both punishments when they're both in your body. Just give them more severe. Ava miso umama d'chad begufe v'chad b'mamone iman avid bey tzricha. So again, chachamim say kimle b'derabaminei. The notion that you give the more severe punishment, the Rabbanan are of the opinion that's true when the more severe punishment is the death penalty, but even when the more severe punishment is not the death penalty, even when the more severe punishment is just malchus, say chachamim, you'd still say kimle b'derabamine. Whereas Rabbi Meir's of the opinion, no, you only say the more severe punishment exempts you from the lesser one when the death penalty is involved. If it's less than the death penalty, then you in fact get both the more severe and the lesser. Why then does Rabbi Meir need the two psukim? Chachamim need the two psukim. One to teach me misa umalkus, or misa and tashlumen, and the other to teach me malkus and mamon. And Rabbi Meir says I need the two psukim within misa itself. Misa and malkus and misa u mamon. Okay, so see, these are some of the rules of kibble b'derabamine, a fundamental machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Meir. The real question, yes.
Chachamim say, using this logic, that malkus is a mini
Reb Meir was the one who said, within Reb Meir...
I'm looking at the other way. I'm looking at the comment.
Yeah, the question is, why doesn't... Does the Gemara Vayter? I don't know, maybe it does. Does the Gemara Vayter want to know, why do the Chachamim not need tups to limudim within Misa? Tosfos ask that? Baruch Hashem, we have such Tamidei Chachamim here. Look at Tosfos. V'chad de b'Misa u'Malkus, that one? Rabbanu Malkus and Mamanu Miso Malkus Shavayar Nafki Michtei Rishaso, right? So the Chacham, okay, Baruch Hashem, I'm glad I was bothered by the same thing as Tosfos. Why can't Reb Meir justifies the need for two psukim? Because I wouldn't have known Misa and Malkus or Misa Umamon without two psukim. I couldn't have known one from the other. Whereas the Chachamim don't need that; they don't learn it all from Kidei Rishaso. The Mashrin is Chayev Bahadei Malkus Misa Umamon Mishum Rishachas at the Mechayvo. Because since they're using Risha Achas, they can apply it more broadly. Why can't Reb Meir apply it more broadly? I don't know. This needs to be worked through a little bit. Okay. So the question, though, that I want to spend really the bulk of our time, which is the theme we have in our Shas Sugyish year, is to take a principle, not to go into every permutation and all the details, of which, as I said, we could sit here for 10 years, but to try to understand a little bit the lumdus of it. What is the lumdus? What is the theory behind the idea that there's no double liability? However it expresses itself, bein the chachamim, that it applies even to Malkus and Mamun, or to Reb Meir, it only applies if there's Misa. Why? Why should you not have to get the lower liability, the less severe? Why do you only get the more severe? Theories, thoughts, ideas. Okay, so I guess I'll offer some. Lamdas, we don't like to hide behind Gezeres HaKasuf. We want to know the Chakira, we want to know the Lamdas. What's the Lamdas? Because we need to know Nafkaminas, we need to know. But what's the logic of it? They would learn it even more if I got both the more severe and the less severe. So what's the logic of it? Why am I exempt? I lit your field on fire. What?
In other words, when you're getting a punishment, you're being denigrated, right?
Right.
So what's the extent that you can denigrate?
Well, let me pose the question to you from this perspective. Let's say you're the field owner whose field gets burned by your neighbor. Now your neighbor happened to have burnt down your field on Shabbos. So you come to court and you say, hey, I just lost my whole harvest for the winter, for this fall. I lost my whole income. My whole field was burned to the ground. Someone's got to pay.
What do I gain?
And Beis Din says, look, I feel bad. I hear you. But he did it on Shabbos. So he's already, we're putting him to death. He's getting skeel, he's getting the more severe punishment. Sorry, his inheritors don't have to pay you from his estate, because he already got the more severe punishment. What's the logic behind that? So he got the more... That's nice. Klap Ishmaya in Bidei Shemayim, in his relationship with Hashem. Let him get skila because he violated Shabbos. What does that have to do with my field? He burnt down my field. Or the inheritors of the person who's murdered says, okay, good. He should get the death penalty for killing our father. But our father was wearing a $50,000 watch. And when he shot our father in the wrist, he broke the watch. So we're out 50 grand from the Rolex. None of us inherit the Rolex. Bad enough we're sitting shiva the loss of our father. He'll have to pay for that. But we also want to be compensated for the loss of the Rolex. What's the logic behind, if you get the more severe punishment, you're exempt from the more lenient punishment? What's the logic? Okay, so Jonathan says, the essence, the core of punishment is... The punishment is not arbitrary. The punishment is not purely punitive. The punishment is a mechanism of kapara. It's a way you're achieving atonement. So if you're achieving the more severe atonement, so what are you saying? If you're severe and more atoned, then what? What are you saying about the more minor one? I want to hear some lumdus here. What's the relationship of the more severe punishment to the more to the less severe punishment? No, No, they're both. It doesn't matter which one you intended. They're both consequences. You burn down the field and you violated Shabbos. But what is the relationship between the two punishments? Good, but they're not always bein adam l'makom, bein adam l'chavero. Sometimes they can even be within the same. You know, the avodah zara and osoves bino are not bein adam l'chavero. They're both between you and Hashem, and yet you apply kimla b'derab minei. What's the, from a lumdus perspective, the lesser punishment in relation to the more severe punishment? When you're incurring the more severe punishment, what are two ways of seeing the less severe punishment?
One thing is, like, if a natural, if a hurricane comes,
yeah,
loss also. So the bidei shemayim, almost like bidei shemayim, that is like.
Okay, good. So maybe we're saying to the neighbor whose field is burned down, what we're telling him is, you know, Nebuch, he violated Shabbos when he was burning down your field. So he's getting a capital punishment. And because of that technical reason, you need to view that your field disappeared as if it was a natural disaster. From your perspective, your field suffered a natural disaster. There was an earthquake, there was a tsunami, there was a hurricane, there was a tornado. The tornado violated Shabbos, so he's getting punished for violating Shabbos. Lagabe, your field, your perspective, it's a tornado. Okay, so that's how we explain it to the neighbor. But again, trying to understand the lumdus of the relationship between the more severe and the less severe. Let me explain to you what I'm getting at. Look at Rabbi Chanan, page 8. Zogter Rabbi Chanan kobet shurim. Eli, you have something lumdus? Okay. Says Rabbi Chanan the following. He's trying to deal with a ktsais and a marshal, which we're not going to get into the details. But in explaining, in giving an answer within this kasher zomam, he says the following: Yesh bechlal masayim mana. Well, where I underline, page 8, the bottom right. It's in Ksubis, Rabbi Chanan Ksubis Tzadi Gimel, which happens to be on page Tzadi Gimel. So he says the following. To Yesh Bechlal Masayim Mana, we have an idea. What does it mean, Yesh Bechlal Masayim Mana? Included in the notion of 200 is 100. Where do we see that? When did Chazal use that expression? Yesh Bechlal Masayim Mana?
If you owe money, not sure which one. If you give 200, for sure there's 100 if you owe.
Right, if you owe money, one admits partially, but Yesh Bechlal Masayim Mana. Within 200 is 100. So why is Rabbi Chanan using that euphemism? How does kimla b'derabim minei work? When you get the more severe punishment, because it's more severe, it's including the less severe punishment within it. So you're not neglecting. You're not neglecting the less severe punishment. When you receive the more severe punishment, it includes the less severe punishment within it. When you tell me I have to pay you 200, and I'm having a fight with you over 100. So I don't have to pay you 200 plus the 100 is included in the 200. Well, so the less severe is included in the more severe. Keilu nenash gam ba'ona shakal. Ulefizi yeshin shnei dinim b'kimla b'derabim minei. There's tzvei dinim, there's two different halachas within kimla. Within Jonathan was saying, this makes sense. If you assume that a punishment is a form of a kapara, so if I have to pay the greater punishment and I'm achieving the greater kapara, within that was the lesser kapara. What do you mean? I'm going to do the little kapara and also the big kapara? I'm doing the big kapara. I'm doing the big kapara. So I didn't listen to, I'm going to give you a bad example right now, but I don't know. I didn't listen to my wife to take out the garbage, and I also didn't whatever. So I didn't listen to take out the garbage, which also neglected something else. So I bought her a new diamond ring. But what, I also have to bring flowers? I mean, I got a diamond ring that brings within. If you're achieving the bigger kapara, the bigger pay, the bigger compensation, the bigger, more severe punishment, which is achieving the more severe kapara, implicit within that is the lesser one. Yeah. Well, everyone relax. Just relax. Everyone just relax. Firing squad, just fall back. Fall back, you'll get a chance. I'm glad we're getting everyone so excited about Kimla B'Derabamine. So, Rav Chanan implies this. Says Rav Chanan, let's keep reading. Yesh bechlal masayim mana vavikilu nenesh gam ba'ona shekal ulfiza yesh shnei dinim bekimle b'drabamine. Hachiyav hachomer poter mechiyav hakal vafilu lo avdinan be'achumra V'zerak b'dine beizdin, aval yidei shamayim chayev. So first of all, there's an opinion of some Rishonim that when we say kimla b'derabim inei, it's only b'dei adam. B'dei shamayim yichayev. So it means that, again, if I lit your field on fire on Shabbos, so if it went to beizdin, nobody could collect. B'dei adam, you say kimla b'derabim inei, once a person is being put to death, he's exempt from compensation within the human court. But b'dei shamayim, in terms of the extra level of the law, b'dei shamayim, you're still chayev. So when do you say b'dei shamayim, you're still chayev? When chiyav ha-chomer is poter chiyav ha-kal, it exempts the chiyav ha-kal. Secondly, heicha davdina ha-chomra v'ki'ilu shilim gamas ha-kal. Ya'akein poter legamre gad b'dei shamayim. Says Rabbi Chanan, the Tzvei Dinim, there's two ways to see Kimla B'derabba Minei, and not only are there two ways to see it, there's two Dinim in Kimla, which might explain why we have two Psukim for Kimla. What are the two Dinim? Sometimes, when you incur the more severe punishment exempts you from the less severe. It exempts you. It nullifies, it exempts you. So it's as if you're not liable for the other punishment. It's not that implicit within the bigger one is the smaller one, but when you receive the bigger one, you're not even liable for the smaller one. That's the first way. Or do you say no? Implicit within the bigger one is the smaller one also. So two ways of seeing it. Either that when you get the bigger one, there is no smaller one, or when you get the bigger one, it includes the smaller one. What's the nafkamina between the two? Whether you'll be chayav bidin shamayim. If you say the bigger one makes that you're not even liable for the smaller one, that you're not even liable, right? So then, you're still chayav b'dinei shamayim. But if you say the bigger one includes the lesser one, then it includes it, you're not obligated down here, nor are you obligated upstairs, b'dinei shamayim.
That if Schwartz lights up, you know, around it's his field on Shabbos.
Yeah.
Schwartz gets
right.
The Schwartz heirs, if they pay Abramowitz, that will give their the neshama aliyah. In other words,
b'dei shamayim.
Yeah.
You can take care of a b'dei shamayim.
So,
yes.
The chov still exists.
Now these tvei dinim, b'dei shamayim, it exists. What does that mean when you have a chov b'dei shamayim, as opposed to b'dei adam?
It
means
obligation.
There's a moral obligation, there's not a legal obligation. Correct. So again, Rav Chanan's Tvei Dinim in understanding Kimla is, when there's a more severe and a less severe punishment, is it that when you're obligated in a more severe punishment, it's mevatel, that's his lashon, poter, mechiyav hakal. It's like, I'm not, if I have a DU, I don't know what the example again is. You get pulled over because you, chalila, there's a person... kill someone in their car, so we're not going to also get you that your license plate expired, right? You killed, A kills B with his car, it happens to be that A's license plate expired too. So, poter is a chiyav hakal. Like, we've just thrown you in prison, or we're giving you the electric chair because of manslaughter, you killed someone, we're not going to also nail you for the fact that your license plate expired. Poter is a chiyav hakal. In contrast, in comparison, when you have a more severe punishment, you're going to be exempt from the less severe. It's poter is a chiyav hakal. Or the other way of viewing it is, no, it's not that it's poter is a chiyav hakal, it's that when we give you the electric chair for manslaughter, that's also punishment for the fact that your license plate expired. Normally, a license plate expiring doesn't get you the electric chair. Normally, when your license plate expires, you pay a $20 fine, but you got the chair. When you get the chair, that's also punishment for the fact that your license plate expired. How do you see kimle b'derabba minei? Is kimle a din that the more so the chomer is poter sakal? Or is kimle is kiilu shileim gama sakal? You even paid even for the lesser of the two. But Soloveitchik has this formulation as well. We'll do this next week. We'll start with this next week because I have a pledge to my dear chaver of Ishaket Hakayin that we won't go over. He has a similar chakira. Just look at it to give you a little appetizer. Yesh lachkor b'dim kimle b'derabba minei im achiyav achomer poter min achiyav akal delo nischayev klau o dilma shaper chal achiyav akal el me'acha shenenash bonash achomer d'cha shekilin eskayim bo gam ha'onash akal. And we'll see, it's the same chakira. And we'll see several nafkaminas. But I'll give you one last one to think about until next week. And that is a shita of Tam de Bechizkiya. The Gemara Ksubas Lamed Hayim and Aleph has the following Shita of Tanit Bechizkiah. Tanit Bechizkiah is of the opinion that even if I did, I would apply Kimla B'Dramaminei even when there's Misa B'Shogeg. You don't have it. You killed someone B'Shogeg, so you're not going to get the death penalty. But you did an act, which in theory, had you done it B'Mezid, would have gotten the death penalty. So then to Kimla B'Dramaminei. You kill someone B'Shogeg, so I killed them. When I killed them B'Shogeg, I ruined their shirt. When I killed them B'Shogeg, it ruined their car. So I don't get the death penalty. I'm not even getting the more severe punishment. And Tana de Bechizki is still of the opinion that even when you don't get the more severe punishment, you still say Kimla B'Dramaminei if it's the type of act which, if it were done intentionally, would have received the death penalty. So given our paradigm, our Chakira, how do you understand the Shita? That's what we'll start with next week when we finish Kimla D'Rabminei. How do you understand Tana D'Bechizkia? What do you mean that even when you don't get the more severe punishment, you're exempt from the more lenient one? Just because the act would have gotten the more severe if it were B'mezid, that too, the theory of it, exempts you from the less severe? Where does that fit into the Chakira of Kimla B'Dirabaminei? Have a fantastic week.